Welcome. This is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com.
And this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and we'd like to welcome you back to this 115th edition of The New World Next Week at NewWorldNextWeek.com, where you can find this video, this weekly video, in a host of video and audio formats on a range of platforms for your listening or viewing pleasure, as you so see fit. And of course, James and I would like to welcome you back, as it has been a few weeks now since our last edition of this series, as I've been away on vacation, but I'm back in Japan now and getting back online and in gear and up to date with all of the news. So let's get straight into it. The meat and potatoes, what you're all here for. James, what do we have up first?
First off, we're going to take it from the Don't Be Evil Google. Google to warn possible victims of state-sponsored spying. This comes from Threat Level. 2 years ago, Google took the unusual move of going public with info that its network had been hacked and that the intruders were interested in getting the Gmail accounts of political activists. Now the company's taken the unprecedented move of providing online security warnings for users who might be the target of state-sponsored spying. In a blog post published Tuesday, the company said that for a subset of users who the company believes may be the target of state-sponsored attacks, they'd be providing a message in black type on a pink background that will appear at the top of a user's account. This raises the obvious question, of course, how can Google determine the activity is state-sponsored? They anticipated that in the blog post. Quote, "We can't go into the details without giving away info that would be helpful to these bad actors. But our detailed analysis, as well as victim reports, strongly suggest the involvement of states or groups that are state-sponsored," end quote. The company said that if you receive a warning message like this in your account, it doesn't necessarily mean your account has been hijacked. No word on whether Google will still notify users if it has reason to believe the state doing the spying is the United States. James, take it.
Oh, I'm going to guess that they're not warning about U.S. State actors hijacking your Gmail, because that's exactly what Gmail is. And of course, again, we don't have to go out on a limb on that one. It's been confirmed by people like ex-CIA agent Robert David Steele, who a few years ago fingered the exact man in Google who was the CIA or the NSA point contact there when they were first getting their first seed money and first getting set up and off the ground, really. And so basically, we know that they've been an intelligence apparatus since pretty much the very beginning. And it's really just an NSA backdoor anyway. So I think they're not talking about U.S. State spying. They're probably talking about China spying on its activists or whatever enemy of the U.S. intelligence apparatus that they want to demonize. Well, obviously, if they can say that Chinese hackers or state-sponsored hackers are hacking into your Gmail, then it can whip up the cybersecurity furor that you and I have been talking about and documenting for years now with the coming cyberspace wars in all of their various connotations and permutations. So, of course, people are advised to stay tuned to cyberspacewar.com for more on that. But James, your thoughts on this story?
That's actually, I was just going to throw in a related post that I do have on cyberspacewar.com. Obama lights the flame from virtual war to military conflict. So over a year ago, the Pentagon announced that computer sabotage coming from another country can constitute an act of war and could lead to military action. Now it's been leaked that the Obama administration and Obama himself perhaps even ordered and escalated the cyber attacks against Iran. That would be Stuxnet. And now we have the flame. And there's already chatter of, you know, Feinstein talking about a congressional or Senate inquiry and the FBI investigation. So it could very well, as we've already kind of seen, James, as it's been called virtual flag terrorism.
That's the name of the game, and unfortunately it is just a type of war game in all of the meanings of that term, and heavily loaded as it may be, but absolutely. So we'll definitely keep our eyes on not just this specific story, but all of the various stories that are related to it in the coming months and years as this continues to play out.
So we will look abroad, and you mentioned them, James. Here we go. China, Russia sign joint communique to deepen cooperation. This comes from CNTV or Xinhua, which is, James, I believe, pretty much kind of official state media out of China.
Pretty much.
Okay. It pretty much reads like a flowery press release. Russian President Vladimir Putin is in China for an official visit. It's Putin's first trip to Asia since he's reclaimed the presidency. He says the trip is to build a growing partnership with Russia's neighbor to the south. The two leaders sign a joint communique to deepen the, quote, comprehensive strategic partnership of cooperation, end quote. They've also hailed a new approach to international security based on mutual trust and benefit. They vowed to be good neighbors, good friends, and good partners. Today, they've declared their intention to forge deeper, wider, and more practical cooperation. It sounds quite like a marriage. Putin was greeted by Chinese President Hu Jintao. It's Putin's seventh time in China, but this time with special significance. It goes on to talk about all their sort of cooperative agreements. Meanwhile, Putin's visit will just coincidentally coincide with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, a body facilitating effective coordination among member states. But that's not all. China, Russia, united against intervention in Syria. That comes from VOA News. And from the Telegraph, Tajikistan hosts China and Russia-led military exercises involving, again, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. James, there's so many kind of bad scenes all around that any one of a dozen things could really set us off in a bad direction. Worse.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, some of the terminology even that we come up with, scenes and bad actors and things like that, because it really does feel like we're in the first act of a play, or I suppose to be more 21st century friendly, the first act of a movie, I guess, where all of the bad guys are being introduced to us and it's all being put in the kind of colorful Hollywood terms. And it's something that I noticed, for example, when I was in Europe and I was browsing the press and looking at the editorial cartoons about the Hula massacre in Syria, for example, and it's always the Chinese panda and the Russian bear are seen in the corner of the editorial cartoon, sticking up for the butcher in Syria and things like that. So we're definitely being indoctrinated right now that this is the sort of battle space of the 21st century, and the battle lines are being drawn. And just on that note, there's a couple of related stories from StratRisks.com that I'd point people to. One of them, Russia prepares for war in Syria, army units. This comes from Newsland.ru, which is a Russian news source. So there's a rough translation here on StratRisks, but suffice it to say that, yes, there are some, they're at least reporting some preparations of the 15th Brigade, the Airborne Brigade, that are preparing, I suppose, for potential war or some sort of military operations in Syria. And why should we worry about Russia and this coming conflict that might happen in somewhere like Syria? Well, Russia has world's largest nuke arsenal, 10,000 warheads, according to INN, which is going through the listing of the biggest nuclear powers. And some highlights of that story include the fact that Israel has an estimated 80 nuclear warheads, which I think is a lowball estimate. But anyway, officially, they don't have any, right? But certainly, we are seeing them drawing up these battle lines and the actors. And so, unfortunately, this is just something that we've been documenting for a while now, and will probably continue to document as it continues to deepen these relations between the bad actors.
So for our third and final story this week, James, perhaps in lieu of a new Food World Order episode, we'll take it from, and I was going to mention, actually, when you said StratRisks.com, I have a pretty active Twitter feed at Media Monarchy, and I actually automatically tweet out all the articles that Michael Vail posts over on StratRisks.com. So actually, I did have that one that you mentioned. And we'll provide that, just as we'll provide all the other things that we cite and source. We'll provide them in the show notes and always put it out to you to say, don't take our word for any of this. Go do your own research. So in lieu of a Food World Order episode, we'll get to the worlds of food, health, and environment from Reuters. Tuberculosis survey in China finds drug resistance rife. Health experts are calling for faster testing of the 9 million people worldwide estimated to be infected with tuberculosis each year after a study in China found drug-resistant strains were rife. The study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine on Wednesday, that's today, June 6th, still here in the States, and no, you can't get the full study research, James, of course you can't. The study gives the first nationwide estimate of the scale of tuberculosis, or TB, problems in China, where there are more than a million new infections every year. It found that 1 in 10 Chinese patients newly diagnosed or recently treated for TB had a drug-resistant strain of the highly contagious lung disease. It gets into some of the more stats and things surrounding this, James. I'll just end it with the statistic. on TB, the worldwide pandemic that they cite killing around 1.7 million people a year. This is another case. So whether we're talking about, you know, our plants and weeds or diseases, they're becoming more drug resistant because they've been fed with GMO garbage from the pharmaceutical industrial complex. James?
Absolutely. And of course, we're talking about antibiotic resistance here. There's also a new antibiotic resistant strain of gonorrhea that's developing, and it's spreading now in the U.S. And some untreatable gonorrhea has sprung up in various countries around the world, including Japan, which I can't say is surprising because having experienced the Japanese medical system, they give out antibiotics here like it's candy. Just anytime you go in with a sniffle, they'll try to give you antibiotics. So there really is a serious problem of antibiotic resistance that's developing, and all of that is an entire issue unto itself. But of course, what plays out from this? What is the solution to this? Well, of course, the solution that's going to be proposed is medical martial law and all of the types of things that we've seen play out with the swine flu crisis and the bird flu, the ever present possibility of the bird flu pandemic that they're always preparing for. So we know how this story goes, and ultimately it's something that people have to once again maintain vigilance for, and know that there have already been passed a lot of emergency measures that basically allow the government to dictate whatever it wants and scrap the Constitution and do anything it wants in the last stages of whatever they declare to be a pandemic. So we have to watch out for this type of thing on every front, not only our personal health, but also personal freedoms.
And James, just as we begin to wrap this up, I think we've touched on in so many ways there, things that I think we see kind of play out that I try and focus on media monarchy. So many other things that we could tie in and kind of add as related to these stories that we see just, you know, today and in the days surrounding the 44th anniversary of the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. Today is actually the 45th anniversary of the false flag attack on the USS Liberty. And I think those kind of, to me, remind me of just kind of the dire situation we're in geopolitically and on the grand chessboard. But just a brief note, if I may, those kind of things will be what I get into on my live radio show on revereradio.net coming up Friday morning. And I call it the Real News Remixed and all of those kind of synchromistic headlines. Because, James, what did we have today? We have the Martian author passing away during the transit of Venus, and we've got Prometheus coming, and there's this bizarre flesh-eating meme going on. There's the Olympic flame, there's the malware flame that we referenced in this episode, and there's the flame retardant being found in foods and products. All of those things I kind of see and try and track on the show. And we play music and we play clips and have guests. We had someone on the scene at Bilderberg last week, Alex Thomas of the IntelHub.com, reporting live from Bilderberg 2012. So, James, any number of those kind of things going on, and I think, you know, we all really need to pay attention. I think the summertime is when they want us to all kind of tune out, and we get a lot of kind of garbage news, and it's going to be shark attacks and murder and mayhem. But there are serious things going on, and we're in kind of a bad window.
Bizarre how the memes line up. I'm looking forward to Media Monarchy to keep me up to date with all of that. And just on a note, as you mentioned, no Food World Order on Corbett Report Radio this week, but I am giving out free DVDs every night this week on Corbett Report Radio, my brand new DVD, Listen In Live on Republic Broadcasting, for your chance to win. So on that note, James Evan Pilato, thank you again.
Thank you.